You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
What is up? Fantasy Sports Today. New time. New place. Same us. Here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Alongside the all-in kid, Jake Seeley, I am Greg Sussman. What's going on, Jakey?
What's up? It's just us, Greg? Just us two today?
It's just us, you and me, baby.
All right, Sussman and Seeley back at it.
Sussman and Seeley back at it after our blast on Friday. We're back to do it all again here on Monday. So it's going to be awesome. We got this for the next hour. BFFs will come your way at 2. Very eventful weekend for the BFFs. I'll get into that a little bit later on. Jake, how was your weekend?
It was pretty eventful until yesterday. I finally got some downtime yesterday. Just able to relax a little bit because I've been spending the entire day doing projections. I knew that was going to come today, so I spent a little downtime yesterday. I got to watch the NCAA tournament, so that was good.
So I talked about this a little bit on Talking Trash this morning. That's kind of where I wanted to start with today. And that's the upsets and Loyola Chicago and whatnot. The best game of the weekend was Kansas Duke. Agree?
Yeah, okay. I'd agree.
Right. So all we want is upsets and people, teams like Loyola Chicago to get there. And what a story. The Cinderella. When it came down to it, the most watched game of the tournament, the game that we agreed was the best game of the weekend, was number one versus number two. Blue blood versus blue blood. Kansas versus Duke. So, as much fun as upsets are, do we really want them?
We do, but I think the problem is it was who Loyola was facing. Like, or even just the fact of both the teams in that game. Like, if you were saying only one of them versus a Duke or only one of them versus a Kansas, I think that would have been higher rated. I think the problem was it was two lower seeds. And also at the same time, you got to remember what time of the day it was. There's Saturdays, there's Sundays. The best game for viewing is the later game on Sunday. I think those are a lot of factors we have to take into account. But when you see a number one going versus a number two and you have a fan base like Kansas and you have a fan base like Duke, and then you have the people that hate Duke, which is pretty much the other 95% of America, you're going to automatically have better ratings. Like if Duke, like I said, if Duke was facing Loyola, I don't know that the ratings would have been that much worse.
So I think that's actually a really good point. I think that's a really, really good point, because more than anything, you want to see Cinderella like take down that big time seed. If it's Loyola versus Duke and Loyola upsets Duke, we're all sitting here with a different conversation. Duke Kansas was a 12 round battle between two heavyweight championship contenders. No Cinderella, and that's awesome. But you're right. If Loyola was facing even Kentucky as a 5 seed, if it's Loyola Kentucky and they take down Kentucky, that's a different story. You're right about that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, this goes back to, like, it's the Mike Tyson thing. You know,
Sure. Nobody
expected Mike Tyson, two heavyweight fights, everything like that. But when you have the upset of Buster Douglas, you know, that's what we're, like, kind of hoping for here. But when you're on the other side and you have two lower-level seeds of that, I mean, the fact that there's going to be a 9 and 11, I think a lot of people were just like, this is cool, but you don't have the Goliath on the other side to be upset.
Yeah, exactly. So that makes a lot of sense to me. It's also very funny that when you look at the Final Four, three out of those four teams, a lot of people could have had. Like, I know Kansas wasn't exactly a favorite pick of experts, but all right, it's a number one seed. Everybody had Villanova up there. Everybody.
Yeah.
Michigan was extremely popular in that bottom left. Everyone said Michigan or North Carolina. I think you had Michigan, right, Jake?
No, I actually had Xavier.
Xavier.
I had Michigan losing to Xavier.
All right, so like, having Michigan go to the Final Four wasn't exactly a surprise to you or a shock or anything like that.
No.
Right? So three out of the four were very, very popular teams. The only crazy region was Loyola Chicago up top left.
Yeah, and it started when we had Virginia upset in the first round and then Arizona upset in the first round. So everything just went to crap after the first day. Honestly, the worst part about yesterday, though, is this is what I'll tell you, Greg. As you know, I'm a North Carolina fan.
Yes.
Is that I could have finished in the top three of a bracket for money that I did if Duke would have won and made the Final Four. So I was rooting for Duke despite the fact, like, it was just the most frustrating feeling all day long. It's like sitting here rooting for Duke at the same time, hating that Duke could potentially win, and then seeing how they lost and just being frustrated with the way that they played on top of it. It was most, like, put it this way, going forward, I won't put Duke in my Final Four ever again, because I don't ever want to sit there and root for them again.
Right, right. And that, so for me, who really felt strongly like Syracuse should not have made this tournament, I'm sitting there again, them against Duke, and I'm not rooting for anybody. Because I was annoyed of Syracuse.
The roof to collapse.
I always hate Duke. I never want to root for them. And I'm sitting there, like, I don't even know what to do. I don't even know what to do. I rooted for Syracuse. But I wasn't happy.
Well, that's like,
I wasn't happy when they lost. I wasn't unhappy when they lost, though.
This is basically Yankees Braves in the World Series for me, as a Mets fan. I hate the Braves and I hate the Yankees because I'm a Mets fan. So that World Series was just kind of like, whatever, somebody's going to win, but this is just frustrating.
Yeah, 100%. All right, so you got a chance to sit and relax and just watch the games yesterday, which were cool. What do you think? Are you in or out on Sister Jean?
I'm not either. Like, what do you mean?
Like, Sister Jean is almost like
is
a mascot.
Is this fun?
Yes.
Yeah, it's fun. I don't know about the mascot and the bobblehead. I mean, I guess, you know, you got to capitalize on what's popular, but I don't know. It's fine. It's fun. Okay. I'm not, like, super excited about it. Like, I'm not pulling for Loyola because of her.
Sure. All right, so you're not super in or out on Sister Jean. I think she's awesome. Yeah. I think it's a cool story, you know?
It is a cool story, but, yeah, I don't know how I feel. It's just kind of, I'm kind of indifferent.
As a North Carolina fan, how excited were you when Grayson Allen missed that shot?
I wasn't, because...
Oh, you're bracket.
Yeah, I was rooting for money. I was actually quite frustrated that he missed that shot.
Oh, I was so pumped. I was so pumped. I just wanted him to start crying. That's all I wanted. And I didn't get it.
The best tweet I saw was somebody just said, I can't wait to see Grayson Allen trip himself up over time.
I love it. That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome, too. But nevertheless, Grayson Allen is out. His college career is over. Do you think he's a good NBA player? I know there's a big debate people are having. Is Grayson Allen a solid NBA player?
No, I don't think so.
I agree with you.
I'll see, what does he bring? Some three-point shooting?
He's a gamer.
Best case scenario, he might be some J.J. Redick, but at least J.J. Redick had a little bit more than he did to his game.
It's actually kind of crazy, because J.J. Redick was like an unreal three-point shooter in college. Like, he could make it anywhere, like almost Steph Curry-like. And he really molded his game to be more than that in the NBA. Yes, he's still an unbelievable three-point shooter, but he's a much better all-around player than he was. I don't know. Grayson Allen doesn't have the three-point shot that J.J. Redick does. Maybe the better all-around player when he was in college. But, like, Grayson Allen's going to get, like, worked in the NBA, right?
No, I definitely think so. I don't think he's got really much of anything skill-wise that translates to the NBA as a lock to translate to the NBA. Like, three-point shooting, okay, that's fine. But honestly, like, where's the size? Where's the speed? I don't know. What does he bring outside of the shooting at that point? You kind of have to help him get open for that. So I don't see a lot of success translate. I told you, though, I'm just hoping he makes it to the NBA and then tries to trip somebody in the NBA so he can get clocked.
Yeah, oh, I can't wait. I cannot wait. We'll see.
That's my biggest. We'll yeah, that's that. What I'm rooting for.
So it's weird. So for once, you were sitting there relaxing, watching college basketball all weekend. And for me, I'm sitting there drafting. I felt like you. I was drafting all weekend. It was ridiculous.
Well, did you at least get to watch at the same time?
So my Saturday night, I couldn't believe it. Listen, I don't go to as many drafts as you do. I don't participate as much as you do. But they asked the question, like, oh, do you guys want the, raise your hand if you want the game on. And I'm like, raise my hand if I want the game on. Are you crazy? Like, I'm going to walk out if you're telling me shut the game off. And like, raise your hand if you want the game on. We're not going to put the sound on because we're in an auction, but raise your hand if you want the game on. I'm like, are you crazy?
Yeah. Who doesn't have the game on?
So there were
like, what else would you put on?
They would have left, like, the MLB Network on or something. I don't know. Like,
I see. Look, I've never understood that. I was having this conversation with somebody when I was up there in New York. It's distracting. Get the hell out of here. If you're that distracted and you can't draft at the same time, then you shouldn't be in the draft, first of all. Second of all, I forget what I was talking about with this. I've never understood sports bars that have on talk shows. Like, What's the point of having a talk show while you're like, at least highlight SportsCenter, you can watch highlights, at least like other replays of games, at least it's a game. You can't get anything by watching two people just move their mouths to each other and not have any idea what they're saying.
Yeah, it was. I completely agree with you. Like, fine, I have the MLB Network on. I get it in normal circumstances, but this is a bar. You're allowed, and I always say this during Tout Wars weekend, where, like, everyone does their Tout Wars thing, and no one cares that March Madness is a hun, and it, like, infuriates me. That's why I don't go to Foley's, as you know, and that's why you came and met me, right? Like, because, like, I'm at a bar surrounded by frat dudes, a sweaty bar watching college basketball. That's what we live for. And Saturday night, like, we have this draft, and I'm with my BFFs, and I'm having fun, but if the March Madness wasn't on, I don't know what I would have done.
Left, like you said.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Unfortunately, I did actually have to leave because I had my buddy got engaged on Saturday afternoon, and Saturday night it was his birthday party and an engagement, like engagement party all in one. So I had to meet them at the bar, and I said I would stay for the auction for an hour, then I would leave. But luckily, like Judy was late, and I was loving it. So this was my first. I'll tell you the story, and I'll probably repeat some of it again on BFFs, but. This is my first industry auction, and I wanted to make it known I was there, you know? So, like, instead of just, like, raising my hand quietly when I wanted to bid, like, oh, I'll bid $5, I'll bid $7. Every time we wanted to bid, I would always, my first bid, no matter what, would be 27. So if a guy was at, like, 24, whether I won him or not, I would just scream, 27! And everyone would just turn and either laugh or get mad at me, and it was awesome.
So you were that guy.
Oh, yeah. I told you I was going to be. I told you I was going to go to the draft, and they were going to know we were there, and they did. And people loved it at first, and then I think it wore on them, which is kind of the goal, right? We wanted to get in their head, and we wanted to try to make them spend money. I think it worked.
Yeah, but how many guys could you jump to 27 on?
A lot. Like whether we had him or not, like, all right, we drafted Anthony Rizzo, right? And we have him at second base because it's Yahoo. And, like, let's say the next second baseman... I don't remember if Jose Altuve was before or after, but Altuve goes, like, obviously he's going for way more than 27, so I just scream 27. First baseman, like Paul Goldschmidt, like, he's obviously going for over 27, I would scream 27. Right. Every one of these pitchers, 27! Over and over and over again. And when a guy got to 26, they would all start looking at our table. I loved it.
Yeah, I have no problem with jump bidding to get things going. That's for, like, I just hate when people are like, let's start Clayton Kershaw $5. Like,
no, so like, from when I was there, and again, I was only there for an hour and a half, and then eventually my girlfriend met us there, and the BFFs tried to talk her into having a drink so I could stay longer, because they felt like the momentum would die down after, like, my screaming head was gone. And the problem was she would have, but she was already a half hour late, so I got to stay the whole hour and a half, so then I had to leave.
Yeah.
But anyway, going back to the games. So I went to a bar. Yeah. I went to a bar. The first game was not on at the bar. It was like downstairs. They had it on all the TVs, but not upstairs. And then the Michigan game, because a lot of people I was with had went to Michigan, so they had ties to Michigan. They had a huge projector screen of Michigan, which is really cool. And then I went to another bar for my buddy's birthday after that, and they had the game on there, so that was cool. And then Sunday, it was great because Vaccaro's Bar, GST, is a Nova bar. So we're in the middle of a draft. This isn't an auction. This is a snake. And we're in the middle of the draft, and he's like, I hope we finish soon, because at 2 o'clock, I have to, I'm like, required to put the sound on for Nova. So they put the sound on along with the TVs for Villanova. And I loved it. So now Ronis, who is the commissioner, has to scream for every peck. So it's just like, the team won! It's Brandon Kinsler! And I'm just like, oh, this is awesome. That's what I go for a draft.
No, why? Here's the question, though. Why are you having it in a bar anyway?
It's fun. Beer, food.
Yeah. It is, but at the same time, that would have been annoying to me.
Why?
Because it's tough to hear. Like, I don't want to have to hear somebody screaming and people. It's not just me. Then, like, oh, what did he bid? Who's up? And then it just takes twice as long. Like, that's why it was just like, I have no problem with the games being on. And if other people are going to be distracted, as I said, if you can't handle distractions, that's on you. But at the same time, I don't want to be having problems trying to hear what's going on. That's a completely different thing.
Yeah, I guess that's fine. It didn't bother me. Like, I thought it was funny. I did feel bad for Ronis because the draft board, after 20 rounds, they just stopped putting it up. And because of the sound, no one could hear who was being picked. So there's like a billion times. And there's three people on my team where we'd be like, all right, we'll take so-and-so. Dude, he went like seven rounds ago. And I'm just like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
So it's also on you for that. Like, you can't. All right. Wait. How did you not know who was taken, though?
It's a long draft. A lot of guys. Our list.
I don't care.
We had a list, and then we ran out of names to cross out.
And you cross them off as you go.
We do. We did. But then, like, there's nobody left on our list, so we just started picking random names. And all those random names.
Don't care. No, that's your problem. Like, you know how many times I've called out a player that's been drafted before in the entire history of Tout Wars and Labor and all these things? Never, because I know who's been taken.
Yeah, we didn't. It was too much going on.
Yeah, people even did it at Tout Wars while we were up there. We got all the way to the almost to the reserve rounds.
But you know what?
He's already been gone.
You know what? So in like my draft, I have my home draft tomorrow, which of course is the most important one because it's your home draft and whatnot. So I have my home draft tomorrow. And as the commissioner for that league, when someone like drafts someone again, it gets me angry, like you are, right? Like, it really, really annoys me when someone does that. Like, come on, dude. Like, he was drafted 6-7 rounds ago. But like, when I did it, when I'm not the commissioner, it doesn't matter. No problem. Kind of like it. It's funny.
Yeah, you're putts.
All right, when we come back, we got a lot to talk about baseball-wise. I want to get an Odell Beckham Jr. as well. And some of these baseball injuries. And I'll find out what Jake thinks of them and his rankings inside rotoexperts.com. Stick around. We got a lot more to come. FST on FNTSY.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Jake, I do have to throw this out there to you. I know you're not going to want to, and you're not going to bite. And I know this already, but I have to ask. All right, so, did you watch the Stormy Daniels interview last night? We lost Jake. All right, Jake, did you watch the Stormy Daniels interview last night?
Nope.
Have you read about it? Do you care about it? But I'll go to Bavona too. I'll go to Bavona instead because he'll play along with me more. Bavona, you watched the interview, right?
Of course I did.
All right. Have you guys talked about Brent Musburger's response to it yet?
No, we haven't.
Okay. So Brent Musburger, famous announcer, of course, famous for making Jen Sturger famous, as well as being a very, very popular announcer, said this just several hours ago last night. Lads, we can never second guess. Actually, is Corey there? Is Corey there, Bavona?
He's here.
All right, Corey. I need Corey to be on the headset for this.
Yo.
All right. Have you seen Brent Musburger's response to Stormy Daniels?
Nah, you know I'm not a Brent Musburger guy, though.
He said this, Corey. Quote, lads, we can never second guess the real Donald Trump for his taste in women. But betting a porn star without a condom? Come on, man.
Brent Musburger's wild, dude. Brent Musburger don't have no cut. You know, Brent Musburger, like 70-something years old, he out there in Vegas now just gambling, doing what he want to do, so he don't care no more.
No, he could care less about anything.
Shout out to Brent Musburger.
Now you like Brent Musburger.
I'm not saying I like him. You know what I mean? He's a great play-by-play man, one of the all-times, but Brent Musburger is way out there.
Way out there, man.
But what this is the thing with Stormy. She was she used a magazine to spank him, right?
Yes.
I guess it's allegedly, of course.
Yes.
Imagine the story headline would have said, Stormy Daniels spanks Barack Obama.
Mm.
Different story, right?
Probably so.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you for your time. So there you go. I have a feeling you have no comments on that, Jake?
Not really, no.
you know what? I kind of had that feeling. That's fine, though. I thought it was interesting. Now, Let me get into some real baseball news. We're talking about baseball. We'll get into Odell a little bit later, on. So this breaks on Friday or Saturday, the Bumgarner news breaks. I guess Friday night, probably. Madison Bumgarner gets hit in the hand with a comebacker. And Madison Bumgarner normally shakes it off, basically gives the trainer the finger, whatever. But this time, immediately walks off, and you're just like, crap. Bumgarner walks off, and we find out he breaks the pinky, right, Jake? That's what it was, a broken pinky?
Yeah.
So, ultimately, that's going to keep him out. They say 6 to 8 weeks. When Ryan Vogel's song was out, it was a little later, so you're looking at 6 to 10 weeks with his injury. That is devastating for the fantasy owner that's already drafted. Devastating. But if you haven't, what did this do to Madison Bumgarner in your rankings, Jake? I don't want to check the link. I know that's what you're going to say. But if I can't check the link right now, what's the answer?
And you can't check the link because I'm not done yet.
All right, good.
I told you that's what I was doing today. Good. So there you go. He's going to fall back. I don't know where he is yet. I haven't finished.
Any idea?
I started this morning at 8 o'clock. I've only gotten through the hitters.
All right, so how about can I give you some names? You just give me your opinion. I know you know you do everything by projections to make it even, but maybe I'll give you some names, and you can just, you know, however you feel. All right, so I'll say he's behind Strasburg now, behind DeGrom, behind Carrasco, right?
Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, all right. Behind Yu Darvish, Greinke, Carlos Martinez. Behind Paxton, Nola, Quintana, Tanaka, Garrett Cole, yes?
Yep.
All right? So I'm literally, whatever you say right now, I'm going to move him in my rankings. Just be clear. Behind Keuchel, Castillo, Godley, Rich Hill, Alex Wood, Kyle Hendricks. No?
No, there's a lot in there. There's a lot in there that no.
Okay.
So he's right in line with Castillo.
He's right in line with Castillo, you say. Okay.
I might still take him in front of Garrett Cole. I think Garrett Cole is way overrated.
Okay. I couldn't do it, to be honest with you. But okay. Would you rather have Shohei Ohtani or Bummy?
Probably Bumgarner, but it's close.
Okay.
The fact is like, what do you want? Do you want the 130 innings of Bumgarner, or do you want 160, 170 innings that might be less productive?
Might be less productive, or maybe he's good. I don't know.
But the thing is, you might get the same valued pitcher.
Yeah.
Like, you might get the same return value at the end of the year for the extra 30 innings because of what Baumgartner can do in the less 30 innings. It'll be the better pitcher on the ratio, so you might actually end up with the same value.
Potentially.
So I think, yeah. So it really kind of comes down to cost, honestly.
Yeah. What is that cost? I know you despise this question, and I realize that. But people want to know. Like, I want to know. What round do I want to take Madison Bumgarner in now?
I don't know. That's why I despise the question.
But that's
your, all your drafts, man. Hey, you know what? Go analyze your own draft. That's not what we're here for.
But it is, though, because that's what people want to know. Like, what round should I take? What round should I be looking
but
at?
It's I despise the question because it's a dumb question. Because no, you can't. Like, I can sit here and say round 15. I can say round 5. I can say round 4,763, and it's not going to matter because it's going to happen when it's in your draft. When those pitchers are coming off the board, that's where Bumgarner should go, and it's going to be completely different from draft to draft to draft.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I think people, really the reason I asked the question is that people, they want to just have some idea when they should look for it. And you're right, Jake. Like, when these guys that
right,
I named, they're going
when we
up,
say
right.
round 9,
right.
and pitchers are going late in your draft,
right.
and then you take them in round 9, and Carlos Martinez and James Paxton and all those guys are still on the board, it's a stupid move. If I say round 9, and you know we're waiting, and Garrett Cole, Lance McCullers, and others are already off the board in round 7, he's not going to even make it to round 9. And that's my point. Again, I'm not trying to be a jerk. It's better in football because there's less that you have to account for, less positions, less players, everything like that.
Sure.
So you can kind of get a better window. But the problem is like every draft is going to change things. And that's why you look at ADP and you see ADP and you see the high of 72 and a low of 143. And it's just the fact that it just depends on what draft you're in.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. And I think your answer actually was relatively fair also when it comes to Bumgarner. In that, like, when the guys that I named and you think, you said, listen, some of them he should go ahead of, some of them he should go behind. If that's my tier, and it's my rankings, so it could be whatever I want, and you have your rankings, obviously. If these guys are going off the board, that's when you're like, all right, now I pull the trigger. And in for the our BFF draft on Sunday, yesterday, we had a snake draft. And, like, I'm not Mr. Injury Optimism ever. Like, I'm much more pessimistic when it comes to injuries, and I never wanted Justin Turner. But we were in, like, the 18th round. Justin Turner was still there. I pulled the trigger there. Like, that was my answer. All right, cool. He's there in the 18th round or whatever. I'm interested now, you know? And I think that's kind of the same thing we'll go with Bumgarner. We said it yesterday that if he had gotten back to us at some pick, I don't remember what it was, but if he had gotten back to us at some pick, we would take Bumgarner. I'll look at the, let's see if I can look at the auction now, if I have the draft results, so I can tell you how much Bummy went for in an auction. Let me see if the draft results are actually in here properly. So I want to know exactly what he went for. All right, they're in here. Oh, cool. How much do you think Bumgarner went for?
How much I think he should or went for. It's two. I'll say $14.
You're right there. $13. Yep.
There you go.
Is that how much you thought he should go for, or that's what you expected he would go for?
He should be $13, $14.
Say again. He was talking about here.
Oh, I said yeah. He should go for $13 or $14.
Yeah. So he did. All right, so there you go. A $13 or $14-ish player, that's the round you're looking at, essentially, here, from Madison Bumgarner. Of course, Bumgarner gets hurt. Then you hear about, like, Chris Sale getting hurt, Chris Archer getting hurt. They're fine, ultimately. But one guy who's not fine was Denelson Lamet. Now, I wasn't Mr. Denelson Lamet this offseason or this spring, but you got to throw it up there. He's now out until potentially mid-May. What are your thoughts on that injury for Denelson Lamet and where you draft him?
Hey, obviously, you factor him down a little bit. I mean, you're talking about, 4 to 6 weeks for him. But the fact is with Lamet, it was always the strikeout potential. And then you hopefully got an ERA under 4. I don't know if he was even going to get that, but it was an ERA around 4, a mediocre whip, and then it was the strikeouts. And then you hope maybe he can break out this year. Maybe he could be a little bit better of a pitcher. And then those strikeouts, now you're looking at a potential Zach Godley type of pitcher. And that's what kind of you were hoping for, but now this puts him behind, and then you don't know what he's going to be when he comes back. So he slips back into range. I don't know. I would say try to look at some names on my board and say probably like a Sean Manaea, Kevin Gausman range of pitchers.
Gross. All right. It's kind of gross. Yeah.
That's what happens.
Is what happens. I think it's
I wasn't that high on him to begin with. I wasn't either. I had like the Michael Fulmer, Drew Pomeranz, that kind of range before this.
That's exactly where I had him also. And now I kind of dropped them into that range you were just talking about. Gausman and Waka and down there. All right. So, Denelson Lamet, big-time injury, of course. He's going to be out for May with elbow soreness for the Padres starter. He was originally the number two starter. Now he is just out, like I said, until around mid-May. Just brutal for him and brutal, obviously, for the Padres as well. Other baseball news.
Draft Tyson Ross.
I'm good. So a little bit more positive you can take it, potentially. We talked about this on Talking Trash as well. But that was Scott Kingery, and it was really, really interesting because I think it was you, Jake, that noted it to me on Friday. That was like, hey, Scott Kingery hasn't been sent down yet. And I'm like, well, not everyone's been sent down yet. It's not a big deal. And, well, now he's not going to be sent down because he basically signed a contract extension that said, listen, you sign this, and you make the team. You don't, and you don't. And he's like, yeah, I do want to make the team. And I do want to be $24 million richer. So he signs this contract, which buys out his arbitration years and has options for his first 3 years of free agency. $13 million, $14 million, and $15 million for those 3 years. Of course, as many observers pointed out, the qualifying offer right now for free agents is at $17 million. By the time that Kingery is a free agent in the early 2020s, that qualifying offer, if it still exists, will be over $20 million a year. He signed, obviously, for much less. So I saw a lot of hate on Twitter for this contract, where basically he got, you know, his agents got hosed. Ultimately, they cost their client a lot of money. This is a terrible deal for Scott Kingery. Of course, I've kind of felt on the other side of it a little bit, where this guy may suck. Like, we've seen a lot of prospects do really, really well in the minors, and for whatever reason, they cannot make it in the majors, and this guy might suck. And if he does, he'll be like John Singleton, sign a monster contract extension before he played a game in the MLB, and he'll be $24 million guaranteed richer. He is set for life as long as he doesn't overspend and outspend his means. $24 million is a lot of money. Like, they put a check out here, and said, "Hey, sign this for $24 million. We're not giving you a raise the next 20 years. I would sign the contract. God knows what I'll become in the next 20 years, but I would sign the contract for $24 million. So that's why I can't blame Scott Kingery. I don't know his financial background. I don't know his means. I don't know what he needed. So I don't blame the guy. And now he made an MLB team, and they're going to try to get him in there. He's a prospect, but they wouldn't just give him $24 million and put him on the bench. So he's going to find his way into the lineup. Before I get into his value and where he should be drafted, and if you want to draft him, I have to ask, Jake, what did you think of Scott Kingery's contract?
I have nothing left. He took everything. there's no points left. He just went on a rant. There's nothing left.
I'm sorry.
No, you took it. There's no setup. You took everything. Like, I was at least going to mention John Singleton, but you even threw him in there. So John Singleton was a can't-miss prospect, and everybody complained about the same thing when he signed his contract. And look what happened to John Singleton. Where is John Singleton? Tell me, because nobody knows off the top of their head where he is. Nobody can name off the top. So unless you're a John Singleton supporter, you don't know where he is right now. And that's the problem. It's like, the fact is, yeah, there's downside. There's a downside that he vastly outproduces and becomes a superstar, but at the same time, there's the flip side of it, and you're going to take guaranteed money. And there are, like you said, there are options at the beginning of his career. Trust me, if he turns into a superstar and he's Jose Altuve, they're going to work something out before. They're not just going to slap those last 3 years on him and that's it. And that's, you know, oh my God, I can't believe you signed this all the way through 30 years old and blah, blah, blah. So the fact is, I'm for it. I think it's a good deal. I think all the people that are saying they're idiots for signing this are short-termed and short-sighted, because they're just looking at the highest potential and the highest. They're looking at the ceiling and not realizing what kind of floor comes with this.
Yeah, exactly. So now that we know that, and he's starting the year in the majors, he's $24 million richer. He's going to play for Philadelphia this year. How often is he going to play? Do I need to draft him in fantasy baseball? Is this guy a must draft? He was a guy that we kind of liked. Now he's on the team. Is he going to play over Mikel Franco? Is he going to play over Cesar Hernandez? What's the plan for Scott Kingery?
I think at first he's going to be a utility option. You know, Mikel Franco could open the window for him, but Mikel Franco's going to start third base. He's going to be a super utility. He'll get a start at second, get a start at, you know, third base, and he'll play a couple times a week. But until he has a full-time job, as of right now, if I'm in leagues and I own him already, I'm selling high, because it's the same thing as the overreaction to the contract. People are shooting his value through the roof, thinking he's a can't-miss prospect. He wasn't even a top 10. He wasn't top 20 prospect. I think he's somewhere around like the 25 through 50 range. So let's remember what Kingery is and the downside to him. He looks great, but the hype is vastly overrated at this point. He could come through on that. But again, similar to the contract argument, people are only seeing the good and forgetting that this guy could be a complete bust, that it could still potentially send him down and say, you know what, you need more time to develop. It's not as good as we thought you could possibly be. Mikel Franco has to give up the job. Mikel Franco hasn't looked that great so far. It is certainly opening up the door for him, but he's not starting every day yet.
So are you not drafting him then?
Not where he's going.
Which is
no
where?
Way. Not paying that price.
What is that price again, Jake? I'm sorry.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Well, you said, like, you said I'm not paying that price. What is that price?
The price that I've seen, but I've only been in like four drafts over the last 2 weeks. So I can tell you, like, I'm not paying the mid-teen round picks, but I don't know what his ADP is.
I don't care about the ADP. Like, right, I just want to know, give or take. You said he's going in the teens. You don't want to pay in the teens? Is that what you're saying?
No. Yes. Okay. I'm not paying that.
Okay. So you will... Is it fair to say, then, you only want Scott Kingery to be a reserve on your team? You don't want him to be your starting middle infielder, for instance?
You're insane if he's your starting middle infielder.
Okay. All right. I'm just asking. So in your...
Oh, I'm just saying. You're nuts, and that's talking about the hype, because what, are you going to have some guy who plays three times a week? That's insane. You're just killing your team from the jump off.
Sure. All right. So that means he's a late-round guy. He's a flyer, whatever. You pick him and you hope. That's a guy. That's what you're saying. He's not a guy you're not going to start. Not a middle infielder, just a bench guy and a lottery ticket. But you're not in lottery tickets. So he's a guy you'll spend the lottery ticket on.
Yeah, but not at that price. I'll take him in the 20s of the rounds. And if I already have, like I said, I'm selling high today.
Selling high today. Okay. So you're selling high on Scott Kingery. What prospect do you want? If Scott Kingery is not your guy, what prospect do you want that's going to make an impact ASAP? I heard a lot about Willie Calhoun. Is that it, or are there some other guys?
ASAP?
Yeah.
No, the only one that's ASAP is Acuna, just because he's down for 2 weeks. That's the only one that's ASAP, but he's in sixth, seventh, eighth round.
Right. Okay. So there you go. The only prospect that is pick ASAP Ronald Acuna in that 6th, 7th, 8th round. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. I want to get into Odell Beckham Jr. and the latest from him. We'll get Jake's thoughts on that. Stick around. More on FST on FNTSY.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Beckham Jr., we had to bring in a ringer.
A ringer. Oh, I'm a ringer now. I like it, though.
Yeah.
I like it. The original ringer is the king, Scott Engel.
Okay.
And then I probably come after Scott in my ringerdom. You smell me? That's a Brute 45. Remember that joint? Dollar store cologne.
There you go.
What's up, Greggy?
Fantasy executive Corey Parson. You heard from him earlier when we were talking about Stormy Daniels.
Yep. I'm in the building.
And we saw he was in the building, and we said, Odell Beckham, let's bring him on up. So
I'll
Corey
come upstairs and talk about Odell.
Joins Jake and I on FST, the show. He couldn't wait to leave.
Stop it. That's not nice. I miss my FST buddies. Jake, Billy Hayes tweeted the other day that Jake was in a good mood, and maybe it was because I wasn't on the show.
I don't think
that's
so.
That's not nice.
That's not nice.
Yeah.
That's not
Jake,
nice.
You didn't. You wasn't in a better mood because I wasn't here, was you?
On Friday?
Yeah.
I've been in the same mood every single day. I tell Billy Hayes to shut the hell up.
Okay, cool. You go right there. Shout out to Philadelphia.
Stop it. Don't tell me how I'm feeling.
Jake, I agree with you. You know what I'm saying? I think it was meant to be taking a shot at me, and then it ended up backfiring on me.
No, you're fine. Greg said that's not nice. I'm just saying. Don't tell me how I'm
it's
feeling.
Not nice.
No, I'm saying what Billy Hayes said was not nice. That was mean to me.
Yeah, Greg was saying, I was saying it wasn't nice that I told him to shut the hell up.
Probably. It's just possible.
Greg, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
How was your weekend?
Weekend was good, man. It was tiring. Really tiring, but good.
How many drafts do you have over the weekend?
Two and one more tomorrow.
What length of time did you spend at your drafts?
So, Saturday night, I had a party. So, I stayed there for an hour and a half, and I bolted.
So, you left your BFF behind?
Yes.
Now this is ridiculous right here. Because you fought to keep the three-man BFF together.
Different draft.
You talking about
So the Saturday night was not GST. Saturday night was GDD.
GGG, okay.
Sunday was GST.
So how long did you stay at GGD?
I stayed an hour and a half at GDD.
Okay, that's cool.
Yep, hour and a half of the auction, which lasted, by the way, 7 hours.
What? Couldn't keep that joint moving?
7 hours.
Well, I'd be pushing. I'd pedal to the metal. It'd been 4 hours. I'd been back uptown in my bed by 1 o'clock.
So I left the bar to come home at like 1:15.
7 hours. What was that?
They were still there.
It was probably all dudes in that joint too, right?
Yeah.
Like 19 dudes
and Jen Piacenti
chilling for 7 hours.
He'll be here in a little bit.
Shout out to Jen.
Yeah. So forever. And then the GST was yesterday morning.
How long did you stay at the GST?
Whole draft.
Okay. Did you see? Never mind.
Who did I say? She was not there. But Scott asked about her.
No. I wasn't talking about her.
Okay.
I was talking about Melnick. He was Melnick at the draft.
Yes, the legend and Andrea were both there.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Andrea.
Yep. The GST started at 11. I was there on time.
Nice.
And Ronis did a nice job.
A nice job of what?
She was commissioner. He kept pushing people to go.
Yeah.
And the draft was much quicker than it had been in the past.
Nice. I'm glad to hear that Ronis did something
It was about 3.5.
All right, cool. Now, did your BFF show up drunk like they did to the football draft?
I was drunker.
You was drunker?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Mm-hmm. we like they came around. You wanted anything to drink? We're just like, water, please.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
It was just one. It was one of those mornings. Jim Ross, who was hanging out with us.
Jay,
not that Jay.
Oh, okay.
One of our fans. He was there. He was. He was.
I don't like to say one of your fans. I say one of your supporters.
Friends, fans.
So you said fans.
Fans of the show. One of our friends.
Okay, supporters, friends. Yeah. Sound better than fans.
Absolutely.
We don't have fans. Well, y'all don't.
He was coming. He was coming, and he was in the middle of the drive. He's like, I this is enough. I need a Bud Light. And
good job. Solid. Yeah. Shout out to Jim Ross.
Yeah.
So what do we got?
So we had your boy Odell Beckham.
Wow.
Now, Odell Beckham Jr., tape comes out, obviously, and we talked about this live on the show. Like, what's this going to do with his contract? What's the deal? And we didn't really have an idea. Like, you said it's a negotiating ploy. Ultimately, probably won't matter. It kind of is what it is. Now, John Mara kind of gave a wide-ranging interview yesterday, or 2 days ago, yeah, and basically said that nobody's untouchable. And I don't think you tweeted about it, but I thought it was you that said this. Maybe you said it to me this morning. I got confused. But you had said, Corey, you ask Dan Rooney, or Art Rooney, rather. You ask Art Rooney about Antonio Brown. He's not going to say, no one's untouchable. He's like, I'm not trading Antonio Brown. You ask the Falcons and Thomas Dimitroff about Julio Jones. He's not going to say, no one's untouchable. He's going to say, Julio is untouchable.
I wasn't the one that tweeted
this. You weren't the one that tweeted this.
No,
okay. But somebody did. And John Mara did not say that about his star, Odell Beckham. He basically said, we're not shopping him. If someone has an offer, we'll listen. Odell's response to this, passive aggressively, of course, was leaking out. He is not stepping back on the football field until he gets a new contract. Jake, I've always said, listen, I get every time a player wants to hold out, I understand it. It's limited shelf life. You got to play. You got to make your money, unlike baseball and Scott Kingery, who we just talked about. There's no guaranteed money, or there's very little guaranteed money. So when you have the talent of an Odell Beckham Jr., I get it. Go get paid. But he's not helping himself this offseason with the type of year he's having. He's rehabbing from an injury. He's doing whatever, and he's not helping his cause. But I do understand from a football perspective, you got to get paid. So I kind of get it from that perspective. What do you think of what's going on with Odell?
Talk to me and Jake.
Get rid of his ass.
Get rid of his ass.
I've been telling people for weeks, this is honestly ridiculous at this point. And all the people out there that are backing and say you don't get rid of talent like that, guess what? Randy Moss was expendable. And I'm going to keep going back to that. Randy Moss is the second best receiver of all time. And he was expendable. He was traded multiple times from multiple teams. And you could always say, oh, the team wasn't better. You see, like, there's numbers after he left. But there's numbers after he left because he wasn't useful anymore. At some point, your cost outweighs your return. And that's the cost right now is Beckham. Look at the fact, too, is you talk about, you said Julio Jones. He doesn't have the off-the-field problems. You look at Antonio Brown. He doesn't have the off-the-field problems. On top of that, of him not wanting to play until he has a new contract and wants to get paid $20 million a year. You've been injured, for one. You've got off-the-field concerns out the wazoo. Every single week, it's something new. You have this new lawsuit that's coming after him, which is, I'll 100% admit, and to the tweets that were behind it, it's a frivolous lawsuit. There's no question but not behind that it's not a frivolous lawsuit. But the thing is, it's every single week with this guy now, and at some point, your cost outweighs your benefit. And what is your benefit at this point? You're going to want $20 million. You're going to want a long-term deal. You want to be whatever you want to be as the highest paid and best quarterback, like best non-quarterback player and all that type of stuff. Do you really bring that kind of value to the team when you have this off-the-field stuff? Are we going to be saying that he's really that valuable to the Giants when he has to be suspended by the NFL for 4 games for all this off-the-field nonsense? Like, let's be realistic here. People have been suspending the NFL for less than showing up on a video with something in your hand and sitting next to a girl with cocaine. So I admit the talent is undeniable, and I'm not saying you trade him for a third round pick just to move on from him. That's stupid. The article earlier today said, could they get a Percy Harvin type deal, which was a late first, a third rounder, and a seventh rounder, and the third rounder was the year after. If that's all you can get, you keep him and you try to make it work. That's a terrible deal. But if you could get an early first and a second rounder, or a first this year and a first next year or whatever, and move on from it and get a rebuilding for this team, and when again, you don't have to pay him the $20 million and you don't have to deal with something every single week and you get rid of the distraction, then you absolutely move on. Like the proposed trade of the Browns, of the fourth pick, the 33rd pick, and then Corey Coleman, you take that today and move on.
Corey?
That's interesting. There's a lot to unpack right here. I don't know too much about the lawsuit, but it's nothing. I don't think, Jake, that he doesn't have anything that the NFL would suspend him for. Maybe Roger Goodell brings him in and be like, yeah, listen, you celebrity athlete, you got to clean this up. You know what I'm saying? He hasn't failed the drug test. Anything like that, any substance abuse. So we don't think it's that. Yeah, he's getting a lot of stupid stuff that's probably going to cause him to lose some money. But then again, it probably isn't going to cause him to lose some money because they're scared of him. The Giants organization is scared of him because they see the best offensive talent in the history of the franchise. There's not been a better offensive player as a New York Giant than Odell Beckham. So they're not gonna move him. They need him too bad to win. He needs to ship up. You know, obviously, he needs to be smarter as he grows and matures and stuff like that. But as far as his situation with the New York Giants right now, they are scared to death of him, and they're going to let him do what he wants.
So I agree, and I agree with that. And I think the problem is they've created a monster, and they weren't able to reel him back in. That you had.
I'm trying to feel like, okay, I'm not a fan of homeboy. You feel what I'm saying? But what is he doing that's, like, so bad?
So I think what he's doing...
It's something every single week.
Yeah, you know, I think certainly...
He's in the news. He's a celebrity. Celebrities stay in the news.
Yes, they do.
For the wrong reasons.
I don't really care about, like, you know, him going out, him smoking a blunt in Europe. Like, that means nothing to me.
Yeah.
Right? Like, whatever. Like, Le'Veon Bell is going to get his extension. He smokes plenty of blunts.
Yeah,
right? Like,
I don't care about that.
What I do care about, like... Him, superstar, going after Josh Norman, that's a bad look, right? Like
That was years ago. That's behind him.
The tantrums on the sideline, not a good look.
Not a good look.
Not a good look. Every wide receiver's a diva, I get it.
But when you're a celebrity, it's different.
When you're that kind of celebrity, it's different. So at those times, what you need is a strong leadership to come out and be like, I'm going to sit your ass down.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. You get in his face and you show him who's boss. Instead, what the Giants did was they coddled him, right? From Tom Coughlin, who had no idea how to handle him, to Ben McAdoo, who was clearly told, let him do his thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not your job. Let him do his thing. And McAdoo, when Odell went nuts, blamed Eli and blamed other people. And you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he continued to just... blow, you know, the head gets bigger, the leash gets longer, and it got worse.
Jake makes the point about Randy Moss. Randy Moss was a quarterback killer. Odell Beckham helps quarterbacks. That's the difference right there.
Sure.
You see what I'm saying when it comes to those two superior talents and stuff like that?
How was he a quarterback killer?
Oh, what's the young boy, and when they went to Dante Culpepper, Dante Culpepper was shot because Dante Culpepper was like, throw me, he told Culpepper, more or less, he was forcing Culpepper to throw him the ball.
Culpepper threw 40 touchdowns.
And 30 to him, probably. You feel what I'm saying? But with the thing about
it is... Yeah, it was Chris Carter as well.
Well, yeah, Chris Carter was a beast, too. But when Culpepper was in that situation, dealing with Randy Moss was too much for that young quarterback to handle. That's why they had to move him, because they felt like that was a better way to develop their quarterback.
And what if Odell Beckham does that, too? However they have as the replacement for Eli Manning.
That's when it becomes a problem.
I disagree with you. The team is not scared of him. The old team was scared of him. But this is the point now, is that Gettleman in the front office, and now the mayors are finally saying it, is they're tired. Nobody is untouchable. The old, you're right about Coughlin and McAdoo. That was part of the problem. And as I go back to my fourth grade teacher, it always said, once you let the leash out, it's almost impossible to pull it back in. And that's what they did, is they let it out. Well, now the new regime is in place. And I know part of that is still mayor. The mayors haven't gone anywhere.
Yeah.
But you have Gettleman and you have mayor being able to be backed up by now his GM and a new head coach, and everybody's sitting there all on the same page saying, you know what? Enough is enough at some point. Things are going to change, or nobody is untouchable.
That new head coach is also like, if I want to get an extension, I'm going to need this guy to be here. You
100%,
feel what I'm saying? 100%. I'm going to be looking for another job, because can't nobody on this football team, the way it's currently constructed, get in the end zone besides Beckham. Now, he wants this extension before this season starts?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not showing up.
Exactly.
He's not. If he wants it before this season starts, he's not showing up.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to show up. He might take it into the regular season.
And the cost is outweighing the benefit.
Yeah, that's a tough deal. That's a tough deal right there. They're going to have to pay him. They're going to have to pony up and pay him.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to draft a quarterback in the first round because they know they got to pay this dude.
Well, that's okay, though.
Well,
quarterback in the first round is
it's a new CBA.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, so when you get, because Dallas need to do something with Dak. They got Dak on this cheap deal, yeah, and they're not doing nothing.
This is when you have to do everything.
Yeah, exactly. You got to win now because right. You got a quarterback on a cheap deal. You got to give the quarterback $30 million next year, and then the offensive line going to fall apart.
Well, that's when Seattle's offensive line fell apart. Yep. Exactly right.
So, yeah, no, they got to get them paid. I think they got to figure out a way to get them paid, or else their product on the field is going to be terrible without him.
I agree. I'm in that camp, Jake.
How much better is it going to be with him?
A lot.
You'll win seven games. You would have won seven games last year with him.
And what does that do for you? 7-9 is the worst thing you could do in the NFL.
Absolutely agree. But Odell, like without Odell, obviously you win 3 games. With Odell, you let's say you win 7. You assume that Gettleman also improves the rest of the team. The Giants are a lot better. Theoretically.
I think you got
it. No, they have a lot of holes.
They
and
do.
Tying up $20 million in a problem is not the right move. If you're going to rebuild this organization, you're going to rebuild this franchise, you rebuild.
But you can make the case that Odell Beckham is the best offensive player in the NFL.
Hey, Giant fans, we'll give you Dez and Al first this year.
So first of all, and you know, they're never trading with the Cowboys anyway.
Nah, no, they would never do that. That would never happen. Them.
Would you do the Cleveland trade
if the Browns legitimately came with the 4, the 33, and Corey Coleman, both teams would be stupid. Both teams would be stupid not to make that trade.
So that I agree with, right? Like you give me a first, the last pick of the first, basically the first pick of the second, and Corey Coleman, who's a young guy who has some talent. I got
to
do that.
Trade him to the Rams so he can be in Hollywood. That's where you want to be, in Hollywood. He's a chump, boy. Odell Beckham. Why do we talk about this? When is these kids over here taking pictures of me? They're taking pictures of my
section 203.
What the hell is going on?
They take a picture. We know that guy.
Yeah.
We know that guy.
Did that kid put his middle finger up at me?
Is that what happened?
I hope not.
Oh, he did. He shaking his head yes. I think he did.
He put his middle finger up at me? Because if he did, I'm about to be 2 minutes of the segment's over, Craig.
You're going to walk out of there.
He's going to put the middle finger up in my face. And then what's going to happen then?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody going to be calling the police.
And it's not going to be you.
No.
It's one of my people, though. You're good.
Now, I didn't see that. I didn't see the star.
It's one of my people.
So we're good.
We're good.
Yeah, no problem. Greg's protecting me.
We finally came full circle.
We finally, all these years later, we finally all these came years full circle.
All these years later, we have officially come full circle.
They got our
Did you watch the Stormy Daniels interview? I know I just read it to you.
I didn't watch it. I watched all the highlights of it, though. So I found that to be very interesting.
Did you though? I couldn't find
it. No, I found it interesting that dude, yeah, got spanked. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't know. Like that's just so crazy that this dude got porn stars spanking him. Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like not a story. Anybody else ever that held that office, this would have been a mega story.
Yeah.
And he's kind of just like, man, whatever, go away. It's fake news. And I'm like, dude, this you're the president, son. You can't have prostitutes. Well, what is she? She's a porn star. Yeah. Yeah. Well, whatever. You know what I'm saying? You can't have this. You can't. This can't come out. You feel what I'm saying?
Doesn't matter.
But it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. But all that doesn't matter is the show is now over. We'll take a break. Corey, it's been fun. We come back.
Yeah.
We come back tomorrow.
Every now and then I'll stop it.
How about tomorrow? No.
Right. Every now and then I'll stop it.
All right. We'll see what's going on.
You're getting ready for the BFFs.
Jake and I will be back tomorrow for FST. Coming up next, it's BFFs. Chip Piacenti's hanging out with us. Talk some more about our auction draft Saturday. That'll be really fun. So stick around for that. BFFs are up next. We will see you tomorrow.